We are in the series of Living for Christ, and today I want to share a message entitled Living for Christ in Health. And we're going from the perspective, the health perspective of emotional well-being this morning. Obviously, there's more to our health than just our emotional well-being. That's a big part of it. But, you know, God has made us really three-part, spirit, soul, and body, and our spirits are made whole through salvation. Our soul or our mind, our will, and emotions are intended to be made whole by the Lord, and He has given us ways for us to be whole that way. And also, He has given us wholeness in our physical being as well. We're going to look at that some in the future, but today I just want to address specifically the area of health being our emotional well-being. Again, a really vast subject that I'm attempting to cover in one message, which, you know, limits me as far as how much I can do, but I believe will give you a foundation for you being able to walk in the kind of emotional well-being that the Lord intends for us. Let's first of all look at the purpose in Christ's suffering. That's where we're going really this week with, you know, even today as we, Jesus was ushered into Jerusalem, so to speak, and Jesus declared His purpose for being here was that He would be like a seed that was going to be planted or buried in the ground so that it could bear the fruit of many seeds. And we understand all of that being Jesus dying so that we could have life. And that was His intent and that was His purpose. And we go into this week that, you know, is often called in the Christian practice or the Christian calendar or whatever, the week of passion. We understand that being the week that Jesus suffered the tremendous physical agony of the not only just the cross and the crucifixion, but leading up to that as well. We'll experience that. You'll experience that together with us on this Friday evening. But we need to understand the purpose. What was Jesus' intent? Why was He so willing to do that? But let's first of all understand that Jesus' suffering was substitutionary. You know, there are things that we suffer in His likeness, in which His suffering is an example to us. And, you know, Paul said in Philippians 3, he says, I want to become acquainted with the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. So there are parts where we suffer like Jesus, and He is our example. But then there are things that He has suffered for us so that we don't have to suffer those things. And in that, we see Jesus' suffering being substitutionary. I'd like you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 3 through 5. And in this, we will see the prophetic word of Jesus' suffering. Isaiah 53, 3 through 5. Both Isaiah 52 and 53 are really significant in considering what Jesus experienced on our behalf. In 53:3-5, it says, He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on Him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Notice what it says here. First of all, it was our sorrows that weighed Him down. Everyone say, our sorrows. Okay, it was our sorrows that weighed Him down. He was pierced for our rebellion. Say, our rebellion.
Our rebellion.
Crushed for our sins. Say, our sin. Okay, so we see all of this. Jesus is doing this as a substitutionary sacrifice for those things that we would have otherwise suffered ourselves. Our sorrows weighed Him down. Our rebellion pierced Him. Our sins crushed Him. And here it says, we despised Him. He was despised. We didn't care. We thought it was for His own troubles that He was being punished from God. Absolute misunderstanding there. He did it for us. Then it goes on to say that He was beaten so we could be whole. I want to explain that wholeness basically through some other translations of the Scripture. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, He was chastened for our well-being. The King James translation says, He was there was the chastisement for our peace. And what I see in that, well, let me go ahead and toss this one up too. He was whipped so that we could be healed. We see in that both the emotional well-being as well as the physical well-being that the Lord had intended and suffered substitutionary suffering for us on our behalf. He was beaten so we could be whole, or so that we could have well-being, or so that we could have peace. And there is in that the description of our emotional well-being, our peace instead of anxiety and anxiousness and all these things that create disharmony in us. He was beaten so we could have wholeness there. And also he was whipped so that we could be healed. And again, I'll be addressing that more in a different message. But what I want you to see in this, and through another scripture from Isaiah 26, is that the standard for believers, the standard that we ought to hold fast to, is perfect peace. That's something that, as Pastor Andy has shared a number of different times here, Pastor Andy Sperlin, regarding emotional well-being, he's addressed this, that the standard for believers is perfect peace. We see that in Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. It's conditional, isn't it? We've got to have our thoughts focused on Him. We've got to be trusting in Him, and then we'll experience that perfect peace. That's the standard for us. Now, if you haven't attained that standard yet, if you're not walking in perfect peace, there's hope. You know, let your hope stretch out for that ideal thing that the Lord has presented for us, and that He was even beaten for our peace, for our perfect peace, chastised for our peace, so that we could be emotionally whole and healthy. And that's the standard, is our perfect peace. Now, in this series of messages where we've been talking about living for Christ, again, we've looked at our mission and our purpose, and I want to bring that up again today. Our mission and our purpose is loving God, say it with me, loving God and people too, and making followers of Jesus. Okay, so when you're talking, you might be asking the question, okay, Pastor Roger, you're talking about emotional well-being. How does that affect our mission and our purpose? What does our emotional well-being have to do with loving God and other people and making followers of Jesus? Well, let me ask you this question as you consider that. Who would you rather be relating to, or who would you rather be married to, or be parented by, or be working with? Does emotional well-being have anything to do with your loving God and people too and making followers of Jesus? You know, do you want to follow or work with or be parented by or be married to the one on the left or the one on the right? It's your choice. I would say left is probably a better experience with that. Okay, so, you know, when we're talking about being happy or being angry, you know, those are some of our emotions, some of the emotions that we experience. And I'm going to balance this out, so just hang on here. I'm not going to say don't ever be angry again. But, you know, when it comes to peace or walking in fear, you know, who would you rather be related to or married to or parented by or working with, you know, if it's someone who is walking in peace or someone who is afraid of everything? Who would you rather be relating to or married to or parented by or working with? Someone who's joyful or someone who's experiencing hatred and resentment? You know, it's obvious. You know, we're much more drawn to those people that have emotional well-being than those whose emotions are out of control. And again, I said, you know, I'm going to give some balance to this, and here it is. First of all, the reality of our emotions is they are God-given, and because we are created in His image. The Lord Himself expresses these emotions, both what we would call positive emotions and what we would call negative emotions. God expresses love. God also expresses anger. And God expresses joy. He also expresses hatred. Mostly His hatred is against sin. God hates sin. And it's not like He goes, oh, those people make me so mad when they do that. It's more like, oh, I hurt for those people because of the trouble that the sin is. I hate sin because it hurts people. That's more God's attitude, I believe, concerning when He's expressing that hatred. It's not, why are you doing that? I'm so mad at you. But he's going, why are you doing that? You're hurting yourself. I hate sin because it hurts you. I believe that's what God is saying. God also expresses the emotion of peace. However, there is one emotion that I don't think God expresses, and that is fear. And the reason why I believe that God does not express or experience fear himself is because he knows everything that's going to happen. You know, isn't that unknown or that surprise that causes you fear? You know, you don't know everything, and so there, you know, the devil can start playing tricks in your mind and that kind of thing. But see, the devil can't trick God, and neither can you. You know, it's like you cannot sneak up on God and go, boo! And him go, oh, I didn't even know you were there. I mean, you know, think about what it says. Heavenly beings, you know, in the book of Revelation, they got eyes everywhere, don't they? Eyes on their wings, eyes in the back of the... In fact, you know, when parents are talking to their kids, and they say, you can't get away with anything. You know why? I have eyes in the back of my head. That's parents just claiming to their, you know, heavenly being or something like that. You know, I'm just laying claim to the fact that I have knowledge that you don't know that I have. And, you know, the reality of that, I think, you know, the expression of fear is the expression of, you know, I'm frightened by the unknown. And I really feel like if we, how can I say this, tapped into God knowledge, we'll be a lot less fearful. It's like, Lord, you know, how should I perceive this thing that's going on that I don't have knowledge about? And you know what the Lord will say? He'll say, fear not. That's what God will say. God will say, I've not given you a spirit of fear. Well, then why do we ever experience fear? What is it about fear? Why is that emotion even there? And I'll get to that. You'll see why. This is one of the reasons, because the reality of emotions is that emotions are motivators. Emotions are motivators. And let me just go through this process with you. First of all, let's talk about decisions. Decisions are the exercise of your will. And decisions are based on really two things. They're based on intellect or knowledge, information, and decisions are based on feelings or emotions. Okay, so good decisions are based on good information and healthy emotions. Let me define both of those. Good information is more than sense knowledge, it is revelation of truth. Now here's where we need to grasp hold of God knowledge more than just the knowledge we have. A lot of times we'll have sense knowledge about things, but that's not the final answer. We need truth to be able to rightly perceive things and then make good decisions based on not just sense knowledge or circumstantial knowledge, but based on God knowledge. What does he say in his word? You know, how is it that God can say, be anxious for nothing? How is it that God can say, don't worry about, you know, food or, what, you know, what you're going to wear? How is it that God can say that? And why would I choose to worry when he says not to? It's because we're making decisions based on not enough information or the wrong information. Okay, so information, having the right information or having truth, right, correct information is just really revelation of truth. That's how we're going to make good decisions, based on good information, but also based on healthy emotions. Healthy emotions I would describe as God-given emotions in control. There's a key there, God-given emotions in control, and we'll look at that. And God-healed emotions that were once damaged. You know, because, you know, oftentimes what people are experiencing is the wounding or the damaged emotions that cause us to respond to certain things because of something that has happened in the past. And as a result of that, then we are basing decisions based on those feelings of having been wounded or having been abused or having been hurt in some way. And so we respond that way then instead of responding by healed emotions that were once damaged. And this is really what we're talking about today when we're talking about Jesus being chastised for our well-being. We're talking about healed emotions. Well, when we're talking about the reality of emotions, and this is something that, again, that Pastor Andy has shared, he has talked about emotions being like idiot lights on the dashboard. You know, it's like they're emotions are giving you information, and it's how you respond to that. You know, so it's like your dashboard. If your dashboard says, you know, comes up with oil light, what it means is your oil pressure is gone. It means you've either run out of oil or your engine has blown and all the oil's, you know, whatever. But the oil pressure is gone, so stop now and address it, deal with it, or you're going to have major problems. You know, the temperature gauge. You know, some people don't read gauges, so they need lights that come on that say hot, you know, or something, temp, to get your attention, say something's wrong, something's not working right. And so, you know, we understand that, driving vehicles, we understand what idiot lights are, and really emotions are there to help us know when something is wrong. You respond emotionally because something is wrong. Okay, so what do you do when you realize, you know, there's something wrong going? Something is, what we need to do then is have emotional management or emotional maintenance, just like you're going to maintain a vehicle that's putting up a light saying something's wrong. We've got to purposefully not just ignore those emotions, ignore those feelings that we have. We either need to put them in control or we need to have them healed up. We need to have emotional management or emotional maintenance for us to continue in a healthy way. So we need to ask the question, what's wrong? If we're experiencing emotions, and typically, you know, we ask this question when they're negative emotions. When we're all filled with joy, we're not saying, what's wrong? we're saying, hey, things are going right. I like this. Whatever. But, you know, if you end up with, you know, in a depression, or if you end up, you know, oppressed or, you know, just emotionally exhausted, or you're just experiencing pain emotionally, it's the time to say, what's wrong? Why is this light on the dashboard lit up? What's wrong? And that's where we start looking for our answers from the Lord. It might be that you're in the middle of a spiritual battle. We know that the enemy is out there to destroy us. And we know that, you know, each one of us has experienced things where we've been hurt. We've been emotionally wounded or abused, emotionally abused. And so sometimes people develop a particular weakness. You know, they're sensitive in a particular area. If they've been always put down and always put down, you know, they may have self-esteem issues, and someone will say something and it will wound them. It wasn't ever intended to be wounding, but it does because of a sensitivity there. And what the enemy does is he takes that sensitivity and he points at you and he says, see, you'll never amount to anything. You're not worth anything. Just listen to the words of the people around you. And so you end up in a spiritual battle that, unless you recognize it, are asking the Lord this question, what's wrong? He says, the enemy's trying to destroy you. You are not what you think you are. You need more information. You need the truth about yourself. Stop embracing these lies that the enemy uses to bring you down. So we need to ask the Lord, what's wrong? What is wrong? And we also need to acknowledge, you know, I'm not the kind of person who tries to put a spiritual twist on everything. I realize that there are physiological problems as well that can cause these negative emotions to be overwhelming. Things like hormones. Can I get an amen? You know, guys are saying, wait, oh, I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to amen that. I'll get an elbow on the side. You know what? Guys are just as bad hormonal as ladies are. Okay, there we go. Does the elbow go both ways? You know, there is the reality of blood chemical imbalances that sometimes need to be addressed. It might be because you're tired, or because you're sick, or, you know, something like this, or even hungry, you know, that you can start responding to things in a negative way because you haven't attended to your body's needs. Your blood sugar needs to be brought back up so you're not so depressed. Yeah, give me a shot of caffeine or something, you know, is kind of what we do sometimes. But the reality of it is there can be physiological problems that connect with our emotions. I realize when I start getting tired, boy, I tell you what, the enemy, he starts trying to have a heyday with me. And it can just be addressed by some rest, you know, rest that gets your perspective back again, and you're not responding to things out of being exhausted or whatever. And so these are things that we need to say, okay, what's wrong? And ask the Lord that question, what's wrong? You know, and this is, again, I'm, you know, just going to refer to Pastor Andy, as he has ministered on this so many times when he has been here. He said, you know, start asking the Lord and expect him to answer. God is one who speaks to us, and he'll give us answers if we're honestly asking him. So we can ask him what's wrong, because his desire and the reason Jesus was beaten was for, he was chastised for our well-being. He was chastised for our peace. And I would say that, you know, the lack of peace is where we end up with emotional challenges, emotional struggles. We're not experiencing that peace anymore. Well, so let's talk about uncontrolled or unhealed emotions. These are some of the results. And I tell you, these can be devastating in your life. Some of the results of uncontrolled or unhealed emotions is it destroys faith. When we're reacting impulsively rather than according to information received, and I'm talking about information being truth, good information is truth, and that comes from God's word and God's revelation. When we're responding emotionally to things without embracing truth, it destroys our faith. Okay, so that's one of the things. It can corrupt decisions. Emotions are given too much weight and throws off the balance for good decisions. See, remember that good decisions are based both on information and emotion, our feelings. But if we're giving too much weight to the emotions, it can create an imbalance in our making good decisions, and it can corrupt our decisions. It can destroy relationships. We're talking about hurts, jealousy, offenses, abuse. Uncontrolled or unhealed emotions can destroy relationships. Particularly in the area of control here, this verse is really good. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He who is slow to anger." Everyone say slow.
Slow.
Slow. Okay, it doesn't say he who never gets angry, does it? It doesn't say he who never gets angry. Does God get angry? Do we get angry? Can we be angry and sin not? Yeah, that's the next verse we're going to look at. But this one says, "He who's slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit." In other words, there's some control going on, and self-control is another one of the fruit of the Spirit of God. There's some self-control going on that when you're ready to boom, explode, there's this restraint. Wait a minute, let me take a breath or two. Count to 10, they say. Well, what's counting to 10? That's being slow to respond. Okay, so slow to anger and in control of your spirit. One who rules the spirit, he's better than one who captures a city. So that's pretty awesome. You know, sometimes we're quick to anger. Have you ever heard the phrase fly off the handle? You know what that means? Where that came from? I will tell you, yeah, I had to look it up. But that was a phrase that was coined, you know, for losing control, but what it came from is that the head of an axe flying off the handle. You know, that can be dangerous. If you're swinging an axe and it flies off the handle, that could be devastating. And often is the same as one who loses control of their anger. He who's slow to anger, it says, is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit rather than he who flies off the handle. Just think about that. When you think about being quick to anger, you're flying off the handle, and you're going to hurt someone. And that's oftentimes how abuse happens, is people not being slow to anger and not controlling their spirit. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says, "Be angry." Everyone say, "Be angry." You know, we have biblical license for anger. Now, be careful with that. You know, but the Bible says be angry, but in your anger don't sin. And so it says be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And that's talking about grudges, holding on to instead of releasing, and instead of experiencing healed emotions, This is talking about dealing with your anger in such a way that you don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. That second part isn't the, you know, verse 27 is in direct connection to verse 26. If we hold on to our anger, we hold on to our resentment, our bitterness, you know, what we're doing is we're opening up the door, saying, here, devil, have a heyday with me. That's what we're saying. We're giving the devil an opportunity by holding on to our anger. So we can be angry. There is a righteous indignation. There is a righteous anger. But we're not to sin in that. Okay. Also, when we're talking about uncontrolled or unhealed emotions, one of the other results is that it destroys health. We'll talk more about our health when we're talking about by his stripes we are healed. But health really, how health is destroyed is a result of stress or that lack of peace. Some of the statistics that I've come up reading is like 80 to 90% of all sickness and disease is stress related. You know, I think we can acknowledge that, especially when we find out what stress does in our life and recognizing stress being that lack of peace or that lack of that emotional well-being. Stress defined as an individual's physical and mental reaction to environmental demands or pressures that are perceived to threaten their well-being. Okay? Disease, dis-ease, you've probably heard that before. But really, you know, that's the result. It can be the result, very easily be the result of us losing our peace or us losing our emotional well-being. We start responding to things, you know, perceiving threats to our well-being and responding in certain ways. Now, there can be a positive side of this, and I'll share this with you. There's a body reaction. Our bodies react to stress. And sometimes it's for good reason. I'll share that. Here's what happens with the body. And this I've looked up too. I said, you know, I'm not going to impress you as I knew this myself, but got the information, okay? The pituitary gland sends hormonal messages to the adrenal gland and the adrenal cortex. They release adrenaline, cortisol, and cortisone, which immediately elevates blood sugar, increases muscle tension, increases heart rate, increases blood pressure, blood flow to brain for decision making, and increases cholesterol. Now you go, oh, that's awful. But really what that is, it's for the purpose of fight or flight. Now, remember when I said, you know, what would be a good reason for fear? Well, sometimes it's to get out of a situation. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen here. It's time to get out. It's that flight. You know, and so these things are happening within your body. All of a sudden, there's that adrenaline to get you moving. You know, sometimes we try to substitute adrenaline with things like caffeine, stuff like that to get us moving. But the point of it is there's a reason for this. However, if you continue on in that, in other words, this is not a controlled thing. This goes on uncontrolled, that you're always in this fight or flight mode, maybe because you lack the knowledge that you need to not be afraid, or you know, or you're living in unhealed and uncontrolled emotions. If this kind of body activity goes on, if it's ongoing, then it results in heart attacks, stroke, diabetes, ulcers, chronic headaches, irritable bowel syndrome, insomnia, poor digestion. No thank you, please. I don't want that stuff. So, you know, if there's ways that we can deal with our stress and our stress-related activities, you know, to realize that oftentimes those things are destroying our physical well-being as well. Not just our emotional well-being, but our physical well-being as well. So let's talk about emotional restoration. First of all, I want you to know that you're not alone. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. And in this, if you know, have a familiarity with this scripture, this passage, you realize I'm not just talking about, you know what, everyone else goes through what you're going through. That's not what this verse is saying. There's more to that than this. Oops, I gave you the notes. Okay, Hebrews 4, my mouse jumped ahead. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says this. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Okay, so Jesus understands our weaknesses. Jesus understands them because he faced all the same testings. You know, this week as we consider what Jesus faced on our behalf, we have not experienced anything compared to the testings that he faced. And yet it says he did it without sin. Emotional abuse? You think you've been emotionally abused? Jesus experienced all of these testings. He understands our weaknesses. So, you know, let's not be afraid to go to him when we're experiencing this trouble ourselves. He faced all the same testings. So the invitation is to come. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And what do we do there? We receive mercy and we find grace when we need it. Oftentimes people go into an emotional funk and start just ignoring God or blaming God. Or just, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with God. And he's saying, no, come. Come to receive mercy and to find grace in your weakness, in your most difficult time. Understand this. Jesus understands what you're going through. You don't have a high priest that can't relate to you. He experienced the same things you did, the same temptations, the same testings. He's got answers for you. Another thing regarding emotional restoration that we can live and walk in, and that is unreasonable peace. And I get that word from this passage, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I've shared this verse with you so many times and have prayed this verse so many times, and one of the reasons why is because this is one that I started farming with, and it followed me into ministry. It's a good verse. If I can find it. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. People were talking about living in Christ. Living in Christ Jesus. What's the promise for us from the Word of God? That we don't have to be anxious about anything. We don't have to be anxious or worried or stressed for anything. Be stressed for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. What it says in that is, in everything, make your requests known to God. I'm quoting from New American Standard, because that's where I learned it. So I'm using different words than what I just read from the New Living Translation. But it says, make your requests known to God. Ask God. Talk to him about these things. Do it with an attitude of thanksgiving, always being thankful for the Lord's goodness. And then what it says, this is the great exchange. I call this the great exchange. Instead of my anxiety, he gives me his peace. And his peace that's beyond comprehension. That's what I mean by unreasonable. See, if you had a reason for your peace, it wouldn't be beyond comprehension. It'd be, okay, I understand why I have peace now because my circumstances changed. But God is saying, no, you don't have to wait for the circumstances to change before you can have peace. That would be reasonable peace. That would be comprehensible peace. Yep, I've got peace now because gas prices went down. The Lord is saying, no, you have peace that's unreasonable. You have peace that is beyond comprehension. There's no reason for your peace, but you can have it. You can walk in that. And what that does is it guards your heart and guards your mind. You know you're going to be a lot healthier in your physical being when you have a guarded heart and a guarded mind with peace. You're not going to be so stressed out. You're going to be anxious for nothing. That's what the Bible is saying, that we can walk in this restored emotional well-being as a result of exchanging our anxieties by prayer and with thanksgiving, exchanging them to God and receiving in its place his peace. not for circumstantial changes. That's not why you get your peace. You get it because you've made that exchange with the Lord and you said, you know, I'm going to trust you, God. And his peace will guard your heart and guard your mind as you live in Christ Jesus in that peace. What an awesome thing that we can have. The next Bible verse, I need to have you make a change in your notes. It should be 3 John 1:2, not 2 John 1:2. And this is where it says, Beloved, I pray in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Prosper and good health. Okay, so our physical well-being is connected with our emotional well-being. As your soul prospers. So the Lord desires for us to experience emotional restoration. And that emotional restoration is going to have a lot to do with our physical restoration as well. So I wanted to talk about this subject, and I think even maybe that's why in the listed order of, you know, what Jesus suffered for us, that he was beaten for our well-being, chastised for our peace, and he was whipped for our health, for our physical well-being. Let me close with this verse again that I brought up before. This is the standard, people. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. This is what we can walk in. This is what the Lord intends for us. I'd like you just to close your eyes at this time and put yourself before that throne of grace. Envision the Lord seated on his throne. The Bible calls it a throne of grace. The reason you can be there in the first place is because Jesus has made you right with God. That's why you can come with confidence. You don't have to grovel at the Lord's feet. You don't have to come in fear. You don't have to come, like the scripture says, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So you're standing or kneeling before the Lord, before his throne of grace, and you have every right to be there because he's made that. He's made you right with him. If you're struggling with some emotional, either uncontrolled or unhealed emotion, I want you to just ask the Lord, what's wrong? Now, this is something that we develop a practice for. We don't have to have a healing line here. I mean, it would be okay, and if the Lord directed that, I would do that. I'd offer to lay hands and pray. But I think it's important for us to learn that, you know, on a daily basis, that you're not going to be able to call someone every time. I'm not saying don't call, but what I'm saying is we go through issues daily. And we need to know what do I do when I'm overwhelmed? And the invitation from Scripture is to come with confidence before that throne, to receive mercy and to find grace in our time of need. So whenever you have that need, God is always accessible. His presence is always accessible. His throne of grace is always, there's an open invitation before the Lord. So when you ask him, what's wrong? And he'll respond. Just have the ears to hear what he has to say. I love it when he tells me, just go take a nap. You're tired. That's why you're experiencing this emotion. You're tired. There's some other things that he tells me that aren't so easy or so comfortable. It's like you need to quit doing what you're doing. And you need to stop making judgments without all the information. You need more information. So when you ask what's wrong, he'll give you answers. And then we do our best to walk that out. Not in our own strength. The Bible tells us we're not doing this in our own strength. We're strengthened by the indwelling Spirit of God, who gives us the desire and the power, the ability, to do what God has asked us to do or what he's told us to do. Sometimes he'll say, you know what, you need to forgive that person who's hurt you. You're living out that emotional abuse because you're holding on to your resentment, your bitterness, your anger towards that person. You've heard me say this before, but that anger and bitterness and resentment is drinking poison, hoping that other person will die. It's just hurting you. He'll say things like, you need to adjust the way you use your time, the way you address your physical needs or abuse your physical needs. Because your physical being can have an effect on your emotional well-being. If you were to come to me and say, Pastor, help me, what's wrong? I'd say, you know what, let's go before the Lord, and he'll tell you, because I don't have the answers for you. So we're just practicing now how you can go before the Lord in your time of need, in your time of weakness, receive his grace, receive his mercy. And remember that this is not just your own effort and your own response. How does the Lord give peace when there's no reason for it? It's a supernatural work of God in your heart to guard your heart and guard your mind. How does the Lord bring freedom from unforgiveness when that person is still abusive toward you? It's a work of the Spirit. It's a supernatural thing. So we're not in this on our own. Remember, Jesus took chastisement, took beating, so you could experience emotional well-being, so that you could experience peace. Peace that is beyond comprehension, and peace that is perfected in him. Father, my prayer is that we would be emotionally healed, restored, emotional well beings, because it does affect how we relate to you and our love for you and how we relate to others around us, our families, Lord, the people we work with, the people that we relate to, the unbelievers in this world that observe our lives. Lord, it affects that. It affects, Lord, how we're going to make other followers of Jesus. And people want to follow something that they see as being positive and healthy and productive. We pray that we can walk in emotional well-being for ourselves as well as for the people that we have contact with, the people that we desire to minister to and to reach. Lord, I pray that grace and mercy for each individual here who's walking in that time of weakness and that time of need. A supernatural work in their heart and in their mind, Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.